Welcome to Head and Neck Cancer Update. This is medical oncologist Dr. Neil Love. I met with Dr. Ed Kim to obtain an overview of key recent research developments in the field, and he began our conversation by commenting on the emerging role of cetuximab.
EGFR was first tested in head and neck cancers, and it made quite sense to do so as it's a very heavily enriched type of epithelium. They are squamous cell carcinomas, and when we refer to head and neck cancers throughout our discussion here, we will just be focusing on the squamous cell cancers. And obviously in the head and neck cancer tumor region, greater than 90% of the cancers will be squamous. We're also, when we talk about these head and neck cancers, we will exclude sinus cancers, nasopharynx, adenoid cystics, those types of cancers, and focus traditionally on the oral cavity, oral pharynx, hypopharynx, and larynx type tumors. Epidermal growth factor receptor, some of the pioneering work was done by Jennifer Grandis and Dong Shen and others, where they were able to find high expression levels, and it seemed like a suitable target for EGFR-directed therapies. Now, one of the earliest ones we had was monoclonal antibodies, namely cetuximab. Cetuximab, as you know, was discovered by our president, John Mendelsohn, and it was a very nice molecule. It was a chimerized molecule. It was an isotope of IgG1. And so you not only had the direct cytotoxic activity, but you also had ADCC, which is sort of the complement activity that could also enhance this type of strategy. EGFR seemed to be overexpressed in many tumor types, as well as serve as a prognostic indicator. Other ligands that bind EGFR, including TGF-alpha and amphiregulin, also seem to be prognostic in this particular tumor type. And so it really was a nice model to test. The early cetuximab studies looked at combining with chemotherapy, such as cisplatin, and there was a lot of good data, especially with chemotherapy, that cetuximab could not only synergize with chemotherapy, but also help overcome resistance to drugs like cisplatin. So you could give someone cisplatin and 5-FU, for instance, and they would then begin progressing. You could then add cetuximab to the cisplatin and show you could get a response. And so that was very nice. This is, again, late 90s research, early 2000s. And then as further testing went, preclinically, this drug looked fantastic with radiation. And so that led to a series of experiments and small trials, which culminated with Dr. Bonner's report at ASCO and now published in the New England Journal of Medicine, where they looked at cetuximab with radiation versus radiation alone in patients with locally advanced head and neck cancers and did demonstrate superiority with the cetuximab. The bonus in this whole thing, other than rash and hypersensitivity reactions, really was that it added no increased toxicity to the radiation, namely mucositis and other related toxicities.
Where are we right now with cetuximab off study?
Well, right now, the two indications that cetuximab has, number one is in combination with radiation in locally advanced tumors. The second indication is in patients who are platinum refractory. So we think of that as a second or third line metastatic or recurrent drug. The study, and we have to remember and take a step back, was radiotherapy alone versus radiotherapy cetuximab. So patients who were enrolled in this study had to be felt that you could treat them with radiation alone and that would be adequate.